Hi, welcome to Real Talk for Real People with Coach Rodney Young. Real Talk is sponsored by Roman Grace Apparel. Before you shop any place, make sure it's Roman Grace. Now, are you ready for Real Talk? Here's your host, Coach Rodney Young.
What is going on, y'all? This is your friendly neighborhood coach, Road Dog Fitness co-owner, Juice Plus owner, distributor. I am the leader of the Real Talk for Real People podcast nation, but I'm an all-around nice guy. What is going on, y'all? This is the next episode of Real Talk for Real People with the coach, this guy, Coach Rodney Young. Listen, I'm so happy to be here as always. Be able to chop it up with y'all, to be able to talk to y'all about certain issues, certain things. Listen, we're going to talk today on how to raise your children in this season. Parents, I need your ears open. Kids, I need your ears open and your spirits open. Because I'm telling you, this is stuff that we need to know, because the enemy, the adversary, our opponent, the devil, is trying to steal our children's identity. He's trying to destroy our children's character, and he's trying to kill their spirits. I'm telling you right now. So I'm going to let y'all listen to this little music right now, and then we're going to have a quick commercial, and then I'm going to get into it. We're going to go both feet in, 10 toes down on the ground. All right? I'll see y'all in a bit. We are back, man. I'm so glad to be with you guys. This subject today is very important. Every subject that I have, I believe, is important. But this one is important because we're going to talk about how to raise our kids in this society today. If you want to give it a title, you can call it Children Are Our Future. That'll be a title if you want to have a title. But I want to come from the aspect of how to raise your kids in this season. And so let me give you a little bit of background. Of course, I'm the youngest of four children. I have two older sisters, Valencia and Rhonda, and I have an older brother, Robert Young, the third. I affectionately call him the OG, triple OG from the CLE. We were raised by our father, Robert Young Jr., and our mother, Dolores Young, who is now with the Lord. Being a baby, and I have to come from this aspect, and I have to truly be honest. Being the baby, I was very, very spoiled. There were a lot of times where I should have been disciplined by my father, but I wasn't, because my mother covered for me, where my sisters and my brother will tell you, they got their hind parts lit by my dad. But when I came around, my father was a little bit older. My mother, of course, always protected the baby. And so, I would come home, when my brothers and sisters would come home with bad grades, they got whooped. It is what it is. But then when I came home with bad grades, mom hit him. And, growing up like that, I took advantage of everything that I could because it was given to me. I was what you call an opportunist. I was a negotiator. That's what I did. It wasn't that I wasn't smart enough to get the grades in school. I just never really applied myself. And so I always tried to negotiate my way out of, grades. And of course, I'm sure there was some resentment from my brother and my sisters, because of the way that I was treated, and rightfully so. And I share with my mom, before she went on to be with the Lord, is that in certain aspects, it hurt me as an adult because I didn't understand responsibility. I didn't understand accountability. I didn't understand work ethic. I really didn't at the time. And it hurt me to a certain extent. But God is good. He transformed me. He worked some things out of me. He worked some bad habits out of me that I had growing up. You know, and, you know, I'm appreciative that God showed mercy on me to help me get through those things. And I appreciate, and I'm going to say this publicly, I appreciate my sister Valencia, my sister Rhonda, and definitely the OG, my brother Robert Young III, because even though I was spoiled rotten, you know, my brother Bob really, he personified the scripture, you know, am I my brother's keeper? And he really, really, you know, there's, I'm be honest, you know, there's still some pain in my chest, from, you know, some shenanigans, I say, that came from, you know, my brother, you know, taking control, of his little brother and not wanting to see him, go out in these streets and, you know, lose his life or do things that was, you know, ignorant, you know. So he really took charge, you know, of course, when my parents really didn't know, when I became a teenager, he really took control. And so I really want to get into this, but I wanted to give you guys you know, a background. And you know, for me, like I said, growing up as a younger man in my household, the discipline for me was not as strong as it was for my brother and my sisters. And like I said, again, it wasn't anything that my dad did wrong, because if my dad could have, you know, he would have done the same thing to me that he did to my brothers and sisters. But mom, thinking that she was being protective of me, and didn't want me to go through that, there were a lot of things that she did that, like I said, I probably should have got my, you know, my throat choked. And that's the thing. You know, I've been in the high school system, and I go along, I'll continue what I'm saying. I've been in the high school system for close to 20 years now. And there's so many things that I've seen, you know, in terms of a lack of discipline with our children. And it's just not going to be, this ain't no beat down session on our kids. You know, kids are going to do what they're allowed to do. If you allow them to, you know, cuss you out, then that's what they're going to do. If you allow them to come in at all times of the night, that's what they're going to do. You know, the kids are going to do what the disciplinarian, the people who are supposed to be disciplinarians, what they do. You know, now fast forward to, you know, me being a father, me being an adult. You know, like I said, I have three great kids. And, you know, each one of my children have a different personality. And I had to learn as a father, and I'm only speaking for me, you know, maybe one of these days I'll get the queen on and the queen can tell you from a motherly aspect how she deals with the kids. But for me as a father, honestly, I never had to put my hands on my kids. Don't think I didn't want to in certain aspects, but I didn't have to. With my daughter, if I told my daughter that I was disappointed in her, that was a crushing blow. If ever she done something and she knew she had disappointed daddy, it was a crushing blow. And even as an adult now, if she knows that she's disappointed me as her father, it's a crushing blow to her. Because I love my daughter. I love on her, even in her hard-headed ways at times and her stubbornness. I'm going to love my daughter through, and she knows that she's always going to be daddy's girl. So when it came to disciplining her, I never really had to put my hands on her, you know. And listen, for those people that'll hear this podcast and this broadcast and, are you putting your hands on your kids? Yeah, well, the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Okay? Listen, that's the problem today, is that some of you out here don't have any idea how to discipline your kid. If your kid is out of line, then you need to correct them. The Bible says, for whom he loves, he chastens. And so that means if you love them enough, then you're going to correct them. And you're going to correct them where they are. You see, one thing about, Robert Young Jr. is he was never afraid to speak his mind. If he had to correct his kids, he corrected them. He didn't care. It wasn't nothing you gonna do about it. You know, you just took it, you know. And if you looked at him wrong, you know, and I'm talking, and this is from the aspect of what my brother and my sisters had told me. If you look at him wrong, you were gonna see the flash of light. And see, that's the problem, is that a lot of you parents don't want to show your kids the flash of light. You see, these young millennials today don't understand what the flash of light is. See, I do. I saw it once in a while, once every blue moon, not as many times as my brother and my sisters did. But see, when you get the flash of light, and let me explain to y'all, the flash of light is that you get hit so hard that your teeth click and your eyes close, and all you see is the flash of light at the response of the open hand that comes across thy face, because you have disrespected your parents. Just like today, I don't understand. I dare one of my kids to call me by my first name. That is just a respect level. I dare one of my kids to call me Rodney. There was no way in Hades that I would ever call my mother Dolores. Hey, D, how you doing? Oh, what's going on, Robert? Are you crazy? You done lost your mind. But see, I hear kids today do that today. I don't care if you're a step-parent. That's a respect level, okay? There's a respect, especially if you're that step-parent that's been with that kid most of their life. That's a respect level. And see, this is what I'm saying. We're missing it. Now, let me give y'all a disclaimer, too, as I continue on. You may not agree with me. And I, you know, that never, ever, ever, ever will bother me. But what I'm saying to you is what it is. This is true. This is, we're talking about raising your kids in this generation right now and what's going on. Because see, you have to understand that the enemy, the adversary, the devil is trying to destroy your children. Trying to teach them to think differently of their identity, not know what their sexual preference is, or you know. Listen, man, I'm telling you right now, okay? Oh well, just let them live. No, there is an order that parents we must follow to have well-rounded children. There ain't no way then I'm going to allow my kid to stand there and curse me out. I'm going to jail. I'm telling you that right now. That's real talk. Because they're going to respect me. Okay? They're going to respect my wife. There's not going to be disrespect in the house. And I've been in places where there's been disrespect. I've had kids come into the school system and been talking to their principal and talking to their parents or sideways. Not on my watch. Not on my time. I've corrected kids in front of their parents and then corrected parents. I will do that. I don't have a problem in doing that. I will let a parent know. I don't care if you let him talk to you that way when you at home. But he ain't gonna talk to you in front of me that way. That's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. If you don't like it, you can get up and leave. It's just not gonna happen. And I'll let that kid know. You better watch your mouth while you're sitting in front of me. See, I have always, even in my time, you know, being spoiled, I still had a respectful fear of my father. Now, let me explain. A respectful fear. I wasn't afraid of him in terms of scared, but I had a reverential fear of my dad because I knew at any point in time he could snap. If I said or did the wrong thing and my mama wasn't around, I knew he could. There was potential. Okay? These kids don't understand because you don't show them that there's a potential of things going awry based on what they're saying to you. Okay? So I really need parents to understand is that it's okay to correct your kid. It's okay to check your kid. If your kid get out of line, it's okay to discipline your kid. Now, I'll never tell you to abuse your kid. Never that. There is a line that you can cross, parents. There is a line that you can cross. And so I'll never, ever condone abusing a child. But do I believe in disciplining a child? Yes. Do I believe in whooping a child? Absolutely. If that child is out of line, yes, you do. Just like a baby. You tap their hand when they do something wrong. Or you tap their hiney when they do something wrong. Same thing. But don't go overboard. Now, for me, like I said, I've never really had to whoop my kids. But on the occasions that I did, I've never whooped my kid and been angry. Never. Never. I've never been angry and whooped my child. Because that's where the abuse will start. Because you're so angry that you lose control. And so I've had to walk away at times. You know, I've had to walk away and come back, you know, because I don't ever want to be angry in disciplining my kid. Now, have they made me mad? Yeah. Yeah, I'm still upset because they've done something that has made me mad, but I've never spanked or whooped my kid in anger. Okay? Because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7 verses 9 and 10, be not hasty to wrath, for anger resideth upon the bosom of a fool. So although you've upset me, you know, I'm not that angry where I'm going to, you know, discipline you to a point of where I hurt you. Okay? So parents, let's get that correct. We're not disciplining to hurt them. You know, I had a very wise man, Alex Huff, tell me when we was at football practice one day and we had to discipline our football team because they was doing things wrong. He said, don't look at it as a punishment. Look at it as a physical reminder. Selah. All right. So I wanted to give y'all a little bit of that background personally from Coach Young because I need to set the base. Okay, now mind you, I'm coming from an aspect of I was a spoiled child. I got everything I wanted. Okay, my mother protected me from my father, who was the disciplinarian. He is, and still is, the OG, quadruple OG. You understand? He's 87 years old and is still no sir. That's the way it is, and it's going to be that way. And I'm not afraid that he's going to rise up and, you know, jack my jaw. It's just a respect level that I have for him. Okay. So I'm going to get into this in terms of I want to give y'all some scripture and give y'all some scriptural background. And then I'm going to give you the 10 challenges that parents have in raising their kids. And then prayerfully, I can give you some solutions to those problems. So when I come back from this commercial from Roman Grace, we gonna get into it, all right? So everybody stick tight. Talk to y'all in a second.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? This is your friendly neighborhood coach coming at you. Listen, are you tired of just wearing the same old clothes? Do you know that you're blessed and that you're redeemed by the Lord and you just want to shout it out loud or show people and be that walking billboard for Christ? Well, listen, I want you to go to RomanGrace.com. RomanGrace.com and go ahead and get your apparel and show the world how much you love God. Listen, there are clothes for men, women, kids, babies, accessories. Listen. Before you shop any place, Coach Young is telling you to go to Roman Grace. That is RomanGrace.com. That again is RomanGrace.com.
All right, we are back. Hey, listen, remember, before you go anywhere, it's Roman Grace. Get into this. You know, we talked a little bit in the previous segment about, you know, a little bit of my background and a little bit of my thoughts on, you know, the subject on how to raise our kids. And so, as always, I want to get into the Word of God so that, you know, we can have a scriptural understanding and a base, you know, because that's just the way Coach is. All right. Now, everybody's heard the scripture before, but I really want to break this down, you know, as much as I possibly can. And that's Proverbs 22:6. You know, and that was the first thing when I started to do youth ministry years ago.
That was one of the first scriptures that I learned was Proverbs 22 and 6. And Proverbs 22, 6 says, train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. And so the reason I use this scripture to get things jumped off is because it's very key as a parent, whether you're, two parent household or a single parent household. You know, of course, your foundation of raising your children always should be based on the word of God. And when you hear train up a child, okay, training, what is training? Training is taking them through the steps. When that child was a baby, you train that child how to eat. You train that child how to walk. You train that child how to talk. You went through training, you know what I mean? And even your training, you had to learn. And so once you train that kid, once that kid learned how to get up on his own two feet or her own two feet and learned how to walk, okay, did that mean that, you know, your teaching and your training was over with? No. When you got done teaching that kid how to eat and they were able to be self-sufficient in eating, did that mean you stopped training them? Did you stop training them to put their shoes on and tie their shoes after they learned how to do it? No. Your training is going to be until the time that God takes them away. The scripture doesn't talk about train them up when they're 18, or train them up when they're 22, or train them up when they're 32. No, it says train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Okay, that means that the teachings and the trainings that you give, that kid is going to hold on to up until the point of their, when they become old, when they become older. Okay. And I would be remiss if I didn't say this. And here's a real talk moment. Okay. Real talk moment. Some of y'all's training is terrible. And what I mean by terrible is because you were trained terribly. Okay. Let's just call it what it is. Because you were trained terribly, then your training is based off of how you were trained. And it exhausts me when I hear certain parents say, well, that's all I know. No, that's all you wanted to know. You think going into this thing with me and the queen, when we had our kids, that I knew everything? Yeah, I had great examples. You know what I mean? I did. I had great examples, and some folks don't have great examples, and I have empathy. I don't have sympathy. See, here's the difference. Sympathy means I feel sorry for you because you were brought up that way. Empathy means, now I understand that you were brought up that way, but there's more for you. That means you need to research. That means you need to find other examples. Don't take the example that you have if you know it's a terrible example. You got to want better and do better for your children. So in my training process, I had to learn. There's times I had to make phone calls. I had to talk to other people, whether it was my pastor, whether it was another a minister or a leader, or whether it was another coach or whoever. If it was something that I didn't understand, I had to talk to somebody. I didn't just think that I knew everything just because I became a parent. Some of y'all examples are terrible. They're terrible. Listen. I had to correct a young lady the other day, no names please, and she was wearing some kind of revealing clothes, and some of the other boys on campus who she knew were saying things about her, and she walked up on me, and I guess she thought I was going to defend her, because see, you have to understand with Coach Young is that I have a lot of young people who refer to me as Pop. And I take that as a sign of affection. I take it as a sign of honor. I take it as a sign of respect. So I don't have a problem with kids calling me Pop or Pops or old guy, as my oldest son calls me. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. Okay, I look at that as a sign of wisdom and a sign of respect. But I always say to the kids that I mentor, the kids that I'm around, that if you're going to call me Pops, that means you're going to act like one of my kids. And if you act like one of my kids, it means I'm going to treat you like one of my kids. And there are a lot of young ladies that I've had encounters with, that I have experiences with, that will tell you, Coach Young did not play. If you saw Pops coming, Pops, and he saw you that you was out of line, Pops didn't have no problem in correcting you. It didn't matter. And if your parents didn't like it, Pops didn't have no problem in talking to your parents about it. I really didn't care, because I'm a firm believer it takes a village to raise a child. Okay, it takes a village to train up a child. All right, so back to this story real quick. There was that young lady, she had on some revealing clothes, and she thought I was going to
cover for her and defend her. And I said, no. I said, you know, you want people to treat you with respect, then you have to wear your clothes as you respect yourself. Because if you want people to respect you, you have to show that you want the respect. You can't ask people for respect and you don't look respectable. Okay. And listen, it's not being judgmental. Okay. There are a lot of young ladies out here that are showing the goods, you know, because they want affection and because they want people to love them and they want people to think that that's sexy. But let me tell you something. When you get a self-respecting man in your life, or you get that young man who cares about who you are, he could care less about, you know, whether you wearing shorts up to your hindquarters or you wearing low top shirts. No. A self-respecting man wants to see the intelligence side of you, because I've said this before in my relationship episodes. When you get past the BB&B, what do you have? When you get past the boobs, the booty, and the beauty, what do you have? What substance do you have? You understand what I'm saying? And so, no, I didn't defend her. I corrected her. And I let her know, hey, look, if you want these guys to respect you, then you have to show them that you want respect. Now, she mad at me currently, and that's okay. I never minded people being angry with me. Never. I never minded people being upset with me as long as I'm telling the truth. Okay? And eventually that young lady will come back to me and she'll understand that I'm going to be the guy that I am. And I'm going to be the pops that I am. Okay? So we got to get into a point of giving our children the example of being able to train our children up and giving them the example that they need to see. Because trust me, if you're not giving them the good example, they're going to either A, follow your poor example, or B, find an example outside of you that's even poorer than yours. You think so? You don't think so? Look at some of these kids that are running with the gangs. I'm just going to leave it at that. Not all of them, but there are some young people that are running with these gangs because they're looking for love. They want appreciation. They want somebody to care about them. They want somebody to give them an example. And so you have to be that example, or else they're going to find an example. And sometimes the examples that they find outside of you is not going to be a good one. So train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. We really got to get into that point of training, you understand, and taking honest and caring about our kids and what they think, and caring about our kids and how they should act. I've told my children, until the day that you are taken from this earth, you are a representation of me and your mother. When you walk out the door, you're a representation of me and your mother. And then I take it even further. When you walk out the door, you're a representative of me, your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather on my side, your grandmother on your mother's side. You're a representation of the name Young. And I hold that to high honor. And I expect you to do the same. And you know what? My kids have done that. Because I've given them, and me and the Queen have given them an example. And we're not perfect. Listen, guys, gals, I'm telling you right now, you're not going to do everything perfectly. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes in judgment. You're going to make mistakes in terms of raising your kids. You're going to make mistakes. It's going to happen. It's not going to be perfect. But as long as you have the foundation of the Word of God, and you and your mate, you and your husband, you and your helpmeet, and you guys are on the same page, whatever mistake you make, God will cover up, and God will take it away, and God will work it out. Okay? Parenting is not a precise science. It really isn't. But you really got to be on your P's and Q's in this season because of what the enemy is trying to do. Okay? Because of what the enemy is trying to do within the school system, you need to be more involved. I seen not an article, but it was more of a video on the news of these fathers who went into the school because the school had a history of violence. And they went into this school and they took this school over. And they did, I think they're called Dads on Duty. I hope I'm getting that right, to give them the honor that they deserve. And I was so proud as a father to see that, because men, we do not take control anymore. We're allowing society to control how we raise our kids. And these men, these gentlemen, walked into that school and said, enough. They said, enough. And I applaud them for taking control and taking back the school system and teaching these young men how to be young men. And I applaud the women who are taking these young ladies and teaching these young ladies how to be young women. The stress that I have is in my school, the school that I work for. I see these young ladies who don't know how to be young women, but our teachers, these young women who are teachers, don't know how to teach them how to be young women. I can't teach a young girl how to be a young woman. I am physically incapable. Just like women can't teach young men to be men. As hard as you try, you're physically incapable. You debate me if you want to. I'm going to tell you, you are physically incapable of teaching a young man how to be a man. So, I applaud those gentlemen for doing that. And I applaud the women that I haven't seen, but I know it's some that are going around the school systems and that are teaching these young women how to be women. And I applaud them. And there needs to be more of you. Okay. Isaiah 54 and 13 says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. You have to be able to give your children the word of God. Because you have to understand is that our kids today don't even have a conscience. And what I mean by that is the Spirit of God does not dwell inside of them because you don't give it to them. See, one thing about it, and I just take my oldest son, for example, and not that my other children don't, but I take him, for example. The spirit inside of him will convict him if he's doing something that he knows that is not of God. I mean, openly convict him. And my other children have it too. But for him, it's since he was a baby, it has always been, he has been able to discern the spirit, and he's always been able, if he knows it's something that he's going to do that's wrong, he's always easily convicted. But that's because we instilled the word of God in them. Okay. So you've got to be able to instill the foundation and the basis, the word of God that's inside of them. You've got to be able to do that. Okay. So understand that once you give that kid the word of God and you give it to him on a consistent basis, they're going to follow what God tells them to do. Okay? But remember, you have to be the example. Okay? Proverbs 1, 8, and 9 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a grateful garland to your head and pendants for your neck." Parents, the question I'm going to ask you is, are you giving instruction? Or are you giving a word of destruction? Death and life lies in the power of the tongue. So what are you speaking into your kid? What are you telling your child? Is every time that he hears from you is always something negative? You know, and I can be transparent. I'm guilty of that when it comes to my youngest son. As I know, there are times that he feels like that the only time I talk to him is if he's done something wrong. And that's wrong on my part. You know, and pray for me, because I'm trying my best to correct that. Because I used to think that same way when it came to my dad, is that every time that my dad said something to me, it was always on the negative. Remember, the Bible talks about not provoking your children to wrath. You got to be able to speak life into your kids. You got to be able to, even if they do something wrong, you got to be able to speak life into them. Okay. Doesn't mean that you forsake the discipline. You don't do that, but you can still speak life into them. You know, Pastor Ryan Hill used to say this to me. He said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And it's the same thing about your kids. If your kids know that you care, you know, then the correction actually becomes easier when they know that you care. When you tell them that you love them, when you tell them that you care about them, you know. Every time I get off the phone with my oldest, every time I get off the phone with my oldest son, my oldest daughter, every chance I get when I'm with my youngest son, and that's the one that will mess with that vein under my neck, you know, because we were just alike. But I try my best to tell my kids that I love them. And not as a, you know, a routine thing. I genuinely love my children. And so I'm saying to you parents, you know, if you're training your kid, and even when you're in the mode of correction, correct them in love. Now, if you got to tear their hind parts up, do what you got to do. But after that time sets, come back and have a conversation with them and explain to them why you had to do what you had to do. Give them the word of God. Let the word convict them, but let them understand that you're doing this because you love them. You know, when my parents wouldn't discipline me, my brother did. Because he knew he had to. And it wasn't that my parents couldn't do it. Like I said, my mother protected me. She couldn't protect me from him, though. Selah. Okay? So it says, you know, don't forsake your mother's teaching either. All right? So mothers and fathers, and if you're a single parent, and like I said, I'm not trying to neglect my single parents. I know it's a little bit tougher for you when it comes to, you know, disciplining your kids. But I know some mothers that ain't got no problem in going upside their kid's head. All right. I take my sister, like I said, my sister Rhonda, for instance. You know, my sister Rhonda basically raised my nephew Sheridan on her own. I mean, be honest, his pop showed up every blue moon, but she basically raised him. But I'm thankful for my brother. And you know, times that I could, and even my nephew, my oldest nephew, you know, they stepped in. And there are a lot of times, single mothers, that you gotta lean on uncles, you gotta lean on cousins, you know, but you gotta be protective, because sometimes them uncles and them cousins ain't doing it the right way. You know, so I understand a lot of moms who step in and do what they have to do. And I applaud them for that. But you got to look out for that young man. And vice versa for the single fathers who are dealing with young women. You got to look at aunts. You got to look at female cousins. You got to ask for that help, you know. And you got to be able to discern if they doing the right things for your kid. And that's what I'm saying. It takes a village to raise a child. Okay. So I'm gonna take a break here. Got one more commercial to come through, and then we are gonna finish this thing up. I'm gonna give you some quotes, and then I'm also gonna give you the 10 things that you know, kind of hinder parents from raising their kids, and hopefully we can get some solutions going in. So I'll be right back. All right, welcome back. This is the last segment, man. Praying that everything and the information that you get is falling on soft soil, falling on soft ground. You know, I'm not the seed waterer. You know, I'm a seed planter. So I'm praying that, you know, seeds are planted, and hopefully I get enough feedback that, you know, this is really helping out young parents and young kids. So we're gonna get into a point. Let's we're gonna begin to finish this thing up. Get this thing across and be able to, you know, help parents understand that, you know, the devil in this season, man, he is a wicked, wicked, wicked individual, and he's really, really trying to, you know, attack our families, attack our parents, attack our kids. And so we really need to understand how to deal you know, with our children, because God has really made them, you know, unique. All our children are unique. They're special. God has created for them to be special. And because God has created them so special, the enemy is really trying to get at them and get after them. And so it's up to us to be the protection. It's up to us to be able to feed our kids the word of God, where they can go out here in this world and fight against the wiles of the devil, and fight against what the enemy is trying to do to them, and fight against what the, you know, how the enemy is trying to derail them, taking them, you know, to dealing with drugs, dealing with having relations before they get married, dealing with the negativity that is going on out here. Okay. And we have to, you know, be able to combat that. So let me give you this top 10. And I'm always giving, and from now on, I'm definitely going to give credit to the websites, because this is not my thoughts. It's called schoolmykids.com. And it says the 10 biggest challenges faced by parents in raising kids. This was in 2020. And I'm sure it applies today. I'm going to give you the top 9, because one of these kind of doesn't really make sense to me. So, number one says lack of time. It says one of the biggest challenges faced by parents today is lack of time. In a day, parents, especially moms, you can say dads too, have to struggle between so many duties. Managing office work, doing household chores, and looking after kids is a lot to handle. Due to increased parenting stress, most parents are choosing to become parents much later in life once they are financially settled. Moreover, parents are increasingly resorting to having just one kid, as they find it extremely difficult to manage life with kids around. Now, when I hear lack of time, does that happen? Yeah, there are a lot of times me and the queen, now, because our kids are older, sometimes it seems like we're passing ships in the night, because she works a lot and I'm coaching and working myself. And so, but when, believe it or not, when our kids were kids, that did not happen. I mean, my wife, my queen was around while I was coaching. There was times where, yeah, I was away from the house because I was coaching and I was bringing money into the household. But I try my best, definitely weekends, to try to spend time with my children, and try to spend time, you know, not only with my daughter, but try to spend time when the boys got older, try to spend time with my boys, you know. And one of the things that, you know, the OG, triple OG from the CLE, my older brother, had told me one time, and that's what got me into the, fitness side of it, was he said, start exercising with your kids. I was like, what? He said, that's the best time to spend with your boys, and start exercising with them. So I did. I mean, I would take them to the gym, do push-ups, sit-ups, everything. They would do it with me. And to say that my boys caught the bug, they did. They're both into physical fitness. They're both physically fit. You know, my oldest son and my youngest, they're both playing football. They're both in the weight room. They look out for themselves. I mean, they're teenagers, so they still eat a certain way. But that was my time to spend with them. With my daughter, you know, it sounds funny, but the one thing that me and my daughter had in common when she was growing up, which was funny, was wrestling, professional wrestling. So me and my daughter would sit in front of the TV and watch professional wrestling together. That was our time. You know, I had to curtail that because my daughter was trying to suplex some girl that she was going to daycare with. You know, that's kind of funny, but it was. Anyway, but that was the time that I got to spend with them. So, you know, lack of time, parents, falls on you. You got to make time. You know, I'll tell you, call off your job. You know, there was times I would have a baby daddy day. And baby daddy day, mainly for my daughter. I think I did it once or twice with my sons. But I literally would go get my daughter from school, take her out of school, and we went to the movies. I'll never forget. There's a lasting memory for me is I took my daughter to the movies and we bought these slushies and we ate the slushies so fast and we both got sick. And it was awesome. We're both sick to our stomachs and it was awesome. And I remember taking my sons out of school and taking them to Chuck E. Cheese, and we just spent time spending money at Chuck E. Cheese. So you can always make time. Make time. But that's number one, is a lack of time. Number two says failure to teach your kids the fundamental moral values. And I'm not going to read this whole thing because it's pretty long. But, you know, teaching them moral values, teaching them values, you know, that's what we've gotten away from, is teaching them the moral values. Picking up after yourself after you're done eating something, you know. Saying yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, to someone who's older than you are. I remember a story summed the whole thing up. I was at a gym. I was going to a gym, and I had my sons with me. And we went to the door, and there was this older gentleman. I believe he served in the war, and one of the World Wars or whatever. And he had his cane, and he was going into the door. And my oldest son, Rodney, opened the door for him, and my youngest son, you know, stood away, and they let him go through first. And he didn't say anything to me in the beginning, and we were, you know, working out together, and he walked up to me, and he said, sir, are these your sons? I said, yes, sir, they are. He said, they are the most well-mannered young men I've ever seen. And I said, thank you, sir. He said, keep doing what you're doing. And I appreciated that, coming from, you know, and I always call the older generation the OGs. And so when I get a compliment from the OGs, I'm very respectful at that. You know, another story was, we were flying from Cleveland to Arizona, or from Arizona to Cleveland, I'm sorry. And we were flying, and my youngest son was very young. Both my sons were young. And they were on the plane, and, you know, they sat on the plane, and, you know, they, you know, had the flight. They were listening to their music or watching the movie or whatever. And the stewardess came. And the stewardess came to me and my queen and said, hey, are these your children? And I said, yes. She said, sir, ma'am, these are the most well-behaved children that I have seen in my years of flying. And, you know, me and my queen said, well, you know, thank you. She said, no, I'm serious. We have kids that come on here and they will holler and scream the entire time. And we're trying our best to settle them down. And your children are, I didn't even know that they were here. That's how quiet they were. My kids, when they used to see kids, other kids having temper tantrums or things of that nature, they used to look at them like they were crazy. And my youngest son still does that. He looks at them like, what is wrong? I have to tell him to fix his face, because he literally looks at them like that. So we gotta teach our kids moral values, you know. We have to really instill that. And that's sometimes we have to look at the values that we have and ask ourselves, are these the values that we want to instill in our kids? Because some of the values that you may have may not be appropriate for your kids, because you got to understand how you were raised. And if you were raised in a way that is not conducive to raise your kids, then don't do the same thing. You got to sometimes, you got to learn how to break the cycle. Okay? Number three, an imbalanced life. Your kids watch everything that you do, and they will mimic everything that you do. So if you live in a hypocritical life, what do you expect your children to do? Okay. You got to be able to find that balance. You got to be able to find that time. You got to do it. And I know a lot of you parents will come, well, I got to work. I know you have to work. But what is more important? The life of your kid or a dollar bill? Listen, I've been there, where me and my sisters and brother had to sit and didn't have lights on and had to use candles. We've been there when we had to eat the government cheese and things of that nature. And ain't nothing wrong with that. The cheese was pretty good while I'm talking. But I'm just saying, I've been there. You know, I've been there when I wanted my dad to be at all my baseball games, but he had to work because he had to pay the bills. I understood that. I didn't understand it then when I was a kid, but I understand it now as an adult, that there was things that he didn't want to do necessarily, but he had to do. I get that. But somewhere you got to find a balance. And even in those times that I thought my dad wasn't going to be there, the story that stands out in my mind the most is I was playing minor league baseball at DeForest Park back in Cleveland, Ohio. Those from Cleveland that hear that, they know. They'll know about DeForest. And I was playing baseball, and I hit, there's a lot of trees out there, but I hit the most titanic home run that I'd ever hit in my life. I mean, I got all of it. And as I was rounding first base, there was this big tree right by an entrance, and I seen a shadow look out from that tree. And that shadow was my father. And my father saw me hit that titanic home run. He thought I didn't see him, but I did. Subsequently, afterwards, I struck out three more times while he was there. But you got to be able to balance your life and find time to be with your kids. Okay. Number four, lack of trust and understanding. Kids got to be able to trust you. How do you expect them to follow if they can't trust you? You got to expect them to follow you. You got to have a trust and understanding. My kids understand that I'm going to be as honest as possible with them. I'm friendly with them, but I'm not their friend. Did you hear me? I'm friendly with them, but I'm not their friend. I want them to understand. I've said this to my queen. It's not that I don't trust my kids. I don't trust the people that's around them. I trust that they're going to make the right decision. I just don't trust the people that are around them. But when it comes to me, I know that my children trust me. That when I say something to them, that I'm saying it because I love them. And because I want better for them. And I'm very, very protective. My kids will tell you. They want to do things and they want to go out and do stuff. And I'm that first person. No. No, because I'm extraordinarily protective, you know. And like I said, it's not that I don't trust them. I don't trust the people that are around them because I understand how wicked this world is. But my kids understand that me and the queen, you know, we're here for them for whatever. Okay, I'll give you number five. And like I said, I didn't understand this one. It's talking about a nutritional deficiency. And I get what they mean, but that doesn't really apply. I really don't see where that applies. So we going to move on. Number six, it says excessive use of gadgets. That cell phone. That iPad. I mean, you're letting those things teach your children how to be people. Because they're learning from the internet. Because you're not talking to them. And I'm not saying take it from them, but I'm saying do something which will cause time where they got to sit that thing down. Where they can hear from a live body. Where they can hear from a live person. Okay. Number seven, aggressive behavior. Most of the kids who have aggressive behavior is because they're frustrated because they're not getting that time. They're not getting that time with their parents. They're not, every time that you're disciplining them, they feel like that's the only time that you talk to them. So kids are going to have enough. Enough is enough. And they're going to have aggressive behavior because they got to be able to let that out. But do you realize you can curtail that just by spending time with them? Just by going to the movies? Just by having baby daddy day? Okay, like I said, I made it known. Okay, and as my kids get older, when they have kids, I hope they have baby daddy day. Because who knows, I might have baby granddaddy day. I got no problem with that. My kids might get mad at me because they'll find out that their kids got taken out of school by their grandfather. And their grandfather then took them to the movies and eating cotton candy and popcorn and getting sick. And then I can take them right back home and leave them with their parents. Spend time with them. Teach them. train them, then you won't have this aggressive behavior. You won't have the resentment. You won't have the anger. You won't have that because they know that your door is always open. They know and they trust that you're going to tell them the best thing that's going to make them the best people. Because I'm telling you, parents, listen to me closely. If you don't, the enemy will. Let me say it one more time in my Jesus voice. If you don't, the enemy will. Understand that, okay? Having a judgmental attitude, number 8. Yeah, I admit that I fall prey to this, especially with my youngest son. My youngest son tell me something, and the first thing I say is, what you done now? Why are you doing this? And I shouldn't be that way. And once again, you know, the things I'm saying to you guys, I'm saying to myself because I, you know, there are things that I need to improve on. I'm not perfect. Like I said, parenting is not perfect. It won't be perfect. Okay. But accept what the kid is saying until you find out something different. Don't always come to the conclusion that they're not telling you the truth. But I will say this, and the OG, Triple OG used to tell me this. He's like, I'd rather you tell me the truth. And I share this with my kids. My kids know this even today. Is I'd rather you tell me the truth and me get upset with you than you lie to me. Because when you lie to me, that means that you're insulting my intelligence. That means you think you're smarter than I am. Which you're not. Yeah, kids do things that you don't know about. They get away with stuff that you don't know about. But you know what? 9 times out of 10, most of the stuff that they do, you've already done. See, because most of you parents forget that you was kids. And then some of you remember that you were kids. That's why you really, really hard on your kids. So get out of that judgmental attitude. Take everything at face value until you find out something different. Let me give you this before I get to number 9. This is pretty good. It said, raising children is not easy. And what works for one child may not work for the other. And with Cynthia Bailey. Here's another one. As a mom, I know that raising children is the hardest job there is. Parents, nobody said it was easy. But I wouldn't have it any other way because I love my children. And I'll give my children anything that they need. Okay. Number 9 says too much study pressure. Too much study pressure. You know, you want your kids to be successful. But how much pressure are you putting on them to be successful? Are you, you know, and once again, here's another fault of mine. You know, I have my youngest son who is working as hard as he possibly can. There's some things that he's got to improve on in terms of school. And I make the biggest mistake, and I can admit this here on air. I make the biggest mistake in trying to compare him to his brother, who was a really good student, and his sister, who was a really, really good student. And, you know, once again, every kid is different. And so there are times where I put pressure on him and I don't realize the pressure that I put on him to be, you know, the best that he can be. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to always do that because I want him, you know, my motto is don't be like me, be better than me. And I want him to be better than me. But I don't want to put so much pressure on him that he ends up feeling like that if he doesn't accomplish what he, you know, the goal that he failed me. It doesn't mean that he failed me. It just means that he did not succeed at that level, and he's got to work harder. Okay, so don't put so much pressure on your kids. Let them be them in terms of school. I mean, you stay on them and so they can be successful, but don't put so much pressure on them where they feel like if they fail that they are not good enough for you. Okay, Selah. And then the final one is protect your kids against child abuse. And I talked about that earlier in a previous segment. There's one thing about disciplining your child, and you can discipline your child, but there's a line that you can cross from discipline to abuse. My discipline is to correct my child for something that they've done wrong. My correction shouldn't be to hurt them. And it's not only physical, it can be verbal. You know? Watch what you say. I mean, you can be angry and still get your point across and say it in a way where your kid gonna know that you upset. You know? But you gotta protect your kids. You have to protect your kids. All right? So those are the 10 things, and hopefully we had some solutions to that. Listen, guys, if you don't remember anything that I said today, I want you to understand that our children are precious. Our children are very precious, and the enemy wants to get to our children. And the reason that our children are so accessible unto the enemy is because we're not doing our jobs as parents. We're not raising these kids to be good kids. We're teaching these kids that you gotta wear provocative clothes for people to see that you're interested, or to see that you know, that you're beautiful. No, you don't have to do that. Our children don't have to do that. Our children have to stand strong, but we've got to give them the foundation on how to stand strong. And that foundation is the Word of God. So that means some of you parents, that means some of y'all got to understand what the Word of God is for your life. If you don't understand what the Word of God is to your life, how are you going to be able to give that to your kid? How are you going to be able to correct your kid? You see, because we have to understand that we're in this world. We're not of this world. We live our lives differently. And when you give your children that foundation of God, take them to heights that they have never seen before. And you want to talk about laying a foundation for your generations to come. You are the foundation layer, parents. So that means if there's something that's going on in your life, then you got to get with God. Because understand, our children are our future. They are waiting on us, and they want us to give them the necessary tools to function in this world. So understand, the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. But if God be before us, who can be against us? Parents who are out here doing it, continue to do it. Continue to train up your child the way he should go. And when he is old, he shall not depart from it. And parents who need help, I'm going to pray for you. I want to pray for you. And I'm going to continue to lift you up in prayer. And you know, if you ever need help, all you have to do is reach out. Because the Bible says where there are a multitude of counselors, there is safety. So reach out and say, I need help. If you have a wayward child and you know that you haven't been able to help them the right way, or you haven't been the great example, listen, no condemnation. God is not here to condemn you. Coach Young is not here to condemn you. I'm here to lift you up. But just repent. Come back unto God and say, I need help, because I got another generation that needs help. That's all I got, y'all. Listen, I hope this helped you out. I wanted the feedback to come by a ton. And I know I didn't touch everything that I could have, because I only have so much time. All right? But listen, go tell your kids that you love them. That's first and foremost. And if you've made mistakes in your life, go ahead and honor those mistakes. Say you've made mistakes and that you'll try to do better. Give your kid a hug. Love on them. I say all the time, love on somebody. Tell somebody that you love them. Don't always assume that they know. That especially is for your kids. Gotta go. Love you guys. Take care. See you later. Talk to you next time. Man, time flies when you're having fun. My time is up, guys. But I thank you for joining me for Real Talk for Real People. And I pray that the information that you received today
be on soft soil, and I pray that your week be successful and prosperous in Jesus' name. Join me next week for another intriguing episode of Real Talk for Real People. And until then, remember, whenever you talk to someone, make sure to keep it real. I'll see you next week.